one person with courage is a majority. Now, this is a quote attributed to Andrew Jackson. I can't find any evidence that he said it. Remember, any time that you are looking at a quote and it says that it came from Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, beware of that. Make sure you verify it. One time, Peyton Manning spoke to the graduates at the University of Virginia, and he used a spurious Jefferson quote, which I thought was kind of funny because it was one of those that, no, Thomas Jefferson never actually said that, but it's often attributed to him. And so Andrew Jackson, there is this quote, one person with courage is a majority. The iconic father of American democracy as we know it today. Now, this whole idea of one person with courage being a majority, that's certainly not the case right now in the British House of Commons. Which brings to me another quote, which was actually said by the Duke of Wellington, who was a prime minister of the United Kingdom in the 19th century. Wellington said, of course he was the general who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, "There is nothing so dreadful as a great victory, except a great defeat." Boris Johnson, I tell you what, Boris Johnson, the new prime minister of Britain, the United Kingdom, whatever we want to call it. If you're an American, you probably just call it England, right? But Boris has had a heck of a week. He has become this week, first of all, he was the first prime minister in over a century to lose his first vote in the House of Commons, and then he went on in short order to become the first prime minister to lose his first three votes in the House of Commons. So not off to a good start, but I do want to give the man the credit that he's due. And I'm calling this episode Boris Johnson and the courage to deliver Brexit. And so when we think about this, so I tweeted the other day that people of courage will experience defeats. People with courage. Because when you think about what is courage, part of courage is being willing to take risks, okay? So when someone has courage, they're going to achieve two things. They're going to achieve great victories, and they're also going to experience great defeats, because if you're not willing to take risks, then you are going to experience defeats. Now, of course, there are people like the former Prime Minister, Theresa May, somebody who really was marked by a lack of courage, a serious lack of courage, and she still experienced defeats. Over these Brexit plans that really weren't going to pan out. I mean, what's been going on? I mean, this referendum happened in 2016. So if we want to get a little bit of general context about Brexit, then we need to think about, so David Cameron, the Conservative Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, had a lot of pressure in his own Conservative Party to leave the EU. Okay, this is something called Euroscepticism, which has a very rich history in the British Conservative Party. If you go back to Margaret Thatcher, where she was talking about all of these things with the EU, with the common currency and the common borders and all of this, Margaret Thatcher famously said, no, no, no. And the Conservative Party has been split between this Eurosceptic wing, which makes up the majority of conservatives, and then a more Europhilic wing, okay? A wing of the Conservative Party that actually wants ties between Britain and the EU. So we go back to David Cameron's re-election campaign, and he promised as part of this re-election campaign, although David Cameron was a fan of the EU, he promised that if he was re-elected, then he was going to give a referendum to the British people, an in or out referendum, okay? So in or out referendum, and the government would abide by the result of this referendum. Now, the only problem is that Cameron believed that if you gave people an up or down vote, that people were going to vote to stay in the EU, and his goal was to put the issue to rest. Now, instead, the British electorate voted 52-48 to get out of the EU. And of course, this was not what the elites wanted. They didn't want this result, and they have been fighting it ever since. And what we've seen has been a series of bad faith negotiations where the EU gives Britain an ultimatum that you'll do this and do this, and Britain ends up Well, they won't accept it, but then they ask for an extension. So all of these extensions. So when Boris came in as prime minister, he said, I've really had enough of the extensions. We're going to stop asking for new deadlines. And he came in promising that on the 31st of October, this current deadline, Britain will leave the EU, deal or no deal. And so the controversial part of this is the idea of a no deal Brexit. A lot of people are afraid of this because it creates potentially a situation that is not advantageous to the EU or to Britain. And that's what I want to kind of focus on today, that when you look at Boris's negotiation strategy, this is not about hoping for a no-deal Brexit, but this is really about going to the brink, okay? Going to the brink and telling the EU that we need to make a deal, okay? We need to sit down like adults and negotiate for once in good faith. And we need to come up with a deal that is good for both parties. And if we can't come up with a deal, then we're just going to walk away. A lot of people aren't too crazy about Donald Trump, but he did write in The Art of the Deal a while back that one of the most important things about making a deal is being willing to walk away from the table. And so the British negotiating position has really been compromised for these 3+ years, because the EU has always known that there's a fifth column in the British Parliament. There are these people who are not acting in good faith. They don't want Brexit to happen, and they've been doing everything possible to stop Brexit through this series of delays. And so the EU has never really had an incentive to offer the British a deal that everybody can take, whether they're wanting to make an example of Britain so that other people won't be thinking about leaving the EU, but the deals that they offer are unacceptable and nobody's able to come to a deal that's good for everybody. And there's this idea that a lot of people have that in the case of a no-deal Brexit, Britain will be hurt so much worse than the EU. But the thing is that both parties will be hurt. Britain is the world's fifth largest economy, I believe the second largest economy in the EU, and this is going to hurt everybody, which gives everybody incentive to negotiate. And sure, the EU is bigger than Britain, but at the same time, let's imagine we think about David and Goliath. What if David would have gone up to Goliath and said, hey, I want to negotiate a settlement here? And how would that have gone? Now, instead, David just grabs a rock and just slings it right in his forehead and calls it a day. Goliath's forehead, just to clarify that, not his own forehead. And so although Britain certainly is the smaller party here, they do have some negotiating capital. And so Boris Johnson's strategy was, let's just go in here and tell the EU leaders that we're going to have a deal by October 31st. No more delays. So Boris's first defeat in Parliament was the defeat of his proposal to leave the EU October 31st, deal or no deal. Now, he was undermined by members of his own party that he proceeded to kick out of the party. So now he is governing with a minority government. Now, when I talk about courage, okay, that Boris did not just take the defeat, Boris then went to the House of Commons and asked for a snap election, an early election. He said, let's let the British people decide if they want to continue to delay or they want to get this over with. Now, I tend to be pro-Brexit. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm anti-EU. I certainly see how the EU works for France and the Netherlands and Belgium and other countries, but it doesn't really, in my eyes, work for Britain. And when you look at the way that the British have maintained their own currency, they don't participate in the Schengen area because you still have to show your passport and go through customs when you go to Britain. Britain leaving the EU functionally is not going to be as big of a deal as people people think. Even as an American, I can travel to Europe, I could get a job in Europe and live in Europe, that there's no catastrophe on the horizon here, as people say. Now, I understand that a lot of people have good faith disagreements with me on that, and they think that Britain should stay in the EU, that the benefits outweigh the bad points of staying in the EU. I totally respect that, but I think that the worst possible thing is for this to keep dragging out. Nobody really wins here. That it would be better for Brexit to happen or not than to keep dragging this out. So Boris proposed, he said, let's have a snap election. And the thing is, you only do that when you believe that the people are with you. And when we look at how Jeremy Corbyn, the opposition leader in the House of Commons, the leader of the Labour Party, he refused an election. Now, he's been asking for an election. What kind of opposition leader refuses an election? And the opposition leader that refuses an election is the person who knows that the people aren't on his side. Which, of course, brings us to the question, is Britain a democracy? Can people govern themselves or not? Was the 2016 referendum a serious question to the people of the United Kingdom, or was it just a farce that the elites were going to go with if it went their way? You hear them asking for a revote. We need to confirm that referendum. If the referendum would have gone to remain in the EU, they wouldn't be asking for a revote to confirm it. And the idea, we get back to this question, can the people be trusted? Some people say, oh, people didn't know what they were voting for. But everybody received a notice from David Cameron's government, which was asking them to vote to remain. David Cameron's government took an official position and warned people about what it saw as the pitfalls of a potential Brexit. And so when we think about this, that Boris, in an act of courage, is saying, let's put this before the people. And his opponents in Parliament have refused. And so we see here that Parliament, even though it's elected by the people, it has now, the majority of Parliament is working to subvert the will of the people, which we would presume want to get Brexit over with. Now, there are people who have views on both sides, but then look at the success of Nigel Farage's Brexit party. And the people who are going to be the biggest losers, of course, in these single-member district constituencies, these One Nation Conservatives who are largely anti-Brexit, that if they have to go before their own constituents, they're probably not going to come out on top, because especially in the Conservative Party, then we see support for Brexit. So this would be a one-issue election, and a lot of people are afraid of this. So Boris, right now, it looks like his hands are tied because he can't get what he needs as far as a negotiating position because of the fire at his back, and he can't get a snap election. So it looks like Brexit is going to continue to be in limbo. And we see here, though, that Boris Johnson, think of him what you want. A lot of people don't like him, think he's some sort of clown, but if he is a clown, he's a clown with courage, with opponents who lack courage because they're scared to have an election. They're scared to have their opinions and what they're trying to do tested at the ballot box. So the lesson here, I always like to focus on lessons in this podcast, because we see in history and we see even in current events, and sometimes I will address current politics from this perspective, is that courageous people experience defeats. It's going to happen. Courageous people will, of course, experience victories, but victories and defeats are part of being courageous. And if you were assured victory, then courage is really a non-factor. So when it comes down to it, if you are afraid of being defeated, then courage will get you through the day. And if you want to lack courage, then go ahead and just stonewall and just quit. But that's one thing about Boris. Say what you want, he's not quitting. Boris said that he would rather be dead in a ditch than to go to Brussels and ask for another extension of the Brexit deadline over 3 years after the vote. And that, to me, is a very courageous remark to say that I would rather be dead in a ditch than to be begging someone for an extension, to not have faith in my country's ability to carry on without the help of someone else who is negotiating in bad faith. So with this, just remember, courage has risks, and people with courage will experience both great victories and great defeats. Thank you for listening. It's always a pleasure.